Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive right here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts of the Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Thomas, what's happening?
Hey, good to have you with us. Don Patterson's in the building.
Past the Tylenol or the Jack Daniels. I don't know which.
Something, huh?
He's hurting today, folks. My name's Tom Houston. But now, ladies and gentlemen, let me quieten things down just a little bit for this. Ladies and gentlemen, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman, this is Phil Parr.
Who's that dog that you shut up?
Jesus, my big dog, Frankie Brown, she doesn't have much sense.
Well, there's a dispute going on as to whether who's really the producer and creator. She thinks
could
she
be,
is.
Could be her.
Good possibility there.
Hello there. Welcome to the Blind Handyman. Sorry. Slip of the tongue there.
This is going to be a good day. I can tell already.
Don has gotten up off his sick bed to come and be with us today. What, did you get healed or what happened?
Now, I just figured I could feel better. Bad, just as bad drinking as not drinking, and I knew where to come.
You know? Here you are.
Yeah.
I think everybody in my area, anybody I know about, has had some sort of crud or flu or
sore throat,
something.
Chills, and fever.
Have you had it, John? Tom, have y'all?
I've had a little spell of it, but not much, not bad.
Not yet.
My wife's had it. My mother-in-law's had it.
We have had rain.
Going around. Really?
We live in East Texas, which we live probably 120 miles north of Houston. That's Lufkin, Texas. It's a little town of probably 40,000 people and 100,000 cars. And yeah. We have had rain. It's like the monsoon. I don't know what the deal is.
It has been bad.
The sun's been out in maybe like 10 days, and I don't think I'm exaggerating. Maybe it peaked out once during that time.
I remember Shaw called me the first year you lived here. You called and said, Phil, it never rains up here.
Does it ever rain in Lufkin?
Yeah. And I said, man, just God, you know.
Yeah.
Give us a break. Got a guy next door building an ark?
Yeah, that's right. Name is Noah.
Well, you know, on Dish Network.
How long have you tread water?
They have like Dish Instant Weather on Dish Network.
You can
go to like 9500 and look at it, you know.
Yeah.
And it gives us some beautiful weather for the next 3 or 4 days. I mean, like sunshine, 70s. One day it gets to 80, believe it or not.
And I think at night down in the 40s, and I've got lots of boxes to burn to get things started and lots of rich pine.
Uh-huh.
And we're doing our, if you're a regular listener to the show, we do this twice a year, sometimes three times a year. This may be it, though. We do this thing we call Blind Weekend. We have these two friends that come down from Dallas, John Conley and John Bennett, and they've been on the show before. Didn't have anything to contribute, of course, but, you know.
They're probably the most unhandiest blind
really
handyman. Blind or sighted, they'd be pretty unhandy, I think.
They would be. Anyway, they're coming this weekend. Bennett is not coming. And
mini blind weekend.
Kind of a mini blind. Having the usual food. And then, what? And they are pretty unhandy. And they contributed.
Will, of course, from Dallas, take partial credit for the show, I'm
yes,
sure.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. From Dallas.
He's probably the partial creator.
And
that's right.
Contributed absolutely nothing to the show. We set up mics for them, and they just said yes and no, and it was pretty much it. But anyway, so we just build a fire and spend the weekend eating and drinking.
Yeah.
And that's all we do. We do this twice a year.
And it's turn. This is show number
29.
For us, 29. But in Blind Weekend, it's like we went the Roman numeral thing, and it's like XV, II, V something or other. John Conley is the statistician.
But on
Blind
your
Weekend.
Carrier two.
But yeah, I think we're not sure which Blind Weekend is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's 18.
Is it Blind Weekend 18?
You realize that next year, if we're all still alive, and none of us go over the up the flume, we will celebrate our 10th anniversary of the Blind Weekend. We've been doing it 10 years.
That's hard to believe.
It is.
Man, it's hard to believe.
I go to bed earlier every time they come. I just, you know, after supper, it's...
Boy, and believe it or not, this Blind Weekend we may actually accomplish something if we put in the new control board here. So.
Yes, we have a new control board coming. We're going to do a show Sunday afternoon. Will be the final show.
Final show, Mr. Houston.
Well, he is updating his studio.
Board.
Tell us all about it.
The console I have is a 24-in, 8-out console. Those of you who don't know, it'll handle 24 inputs and has 8 outputs. And a master mix output. Also, And I won $1,000 for it, if anybody wants to buy it. And so I bought a new one that's 32N8 out that's handles a few more inputs. And this one was made in 89 or 90, and I just, you know, it's time for me to have a... I'm making a little money now, and it's time for me to have... Don't subpoena Social Security.
I wish they'd hurry up and declare war on Iraq so they'd leave me the hell alone.
I got it. they sent you a little letter, did they?
Well, I mean, they sent me a form to fill out the size of the San Francisco phone book.
Mr. Don, you've screwed up.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to install a new console over Blind Weekends. I've got some guys here with some girth, some heft that can move it around. It came today. And I have resisted the temptation to open it, but we'll be burning the box before the weekend's over.
We will.
Anyway, it's a new 32N8 out console, and we won't sound any better, but you'll just, you know.
But they'll know. They'll put it in their records and keep records now. Keep good records.
Sunday afternoon show will be the very last.
Documented by, what's the guy that does all the documentation? Rose, what's his name?
Doug
Rose.
No, they're the one that keep it things sealed in a hermetically sealed.
vault.
That's right.
Uh-huh. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, let me just ask, if anybody knows anything about Bookshare, and how to use it, and how to put it in a portable, carry-aroundable device, how to do those books. I need help. And my email address is just Phil, P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R, at txucom.net. Email me and tell me about, help me with Bookshare. Help me.
Bookshare.
I'm a member, and I've never read a book from them.
Probably time to...
It is.
Get something on the road.
They got my money, but they won't respond to my emails. Anyway...
Yeah.
I finally got an authorization code from Jaws. It was pretty...
Well, very good. Took them long enough, didn't it?
Took them 3 weeks.
Goodness gracious.
They had no last check I sent them, they cashed that day, you know?
That's right.
Well, sure.
That makes you wonder if the stability of the organization.
Yeah, it really does. Anyway,
I just called the accordion people. I'm having a little trouble with my brand new $5,000 accordion, and so the guy was in New York. Well, not anymore. I've traced him down to New Jersey, and talk about cashing the check. I think I had to pay him COD.
Well, what's your problem?
A reed is sticking. I called him. He explained that I may can be able to do it myself, but if not, it's under warranty, and have no fear. I'll just have to pay the shipping and get him to take care. He said sometimes on a new one, the glue, it's kind of a beeswax glue that holds the reeds in. And if a piece of it is flaked off, I said, speaking
not
of
good.
Flakes, that's what I told him. And I said, what do you mean, New Jersey? I mean, they have more lenient laws where you can screw over people, you know.
So spray some WD-40 and help.
Well, no, you wouldn't want to do that.
That's my remedy to everything. All right, Tommy.
Oh, okay.
We've kibitzed long enough, haven't we? What do you think?
Well, I think so. We could probably move right on in, jump right on into email at this time.
All right.
March 4th, just happened to check, and you're back. We have a question. Has anyone there tried to replace elastic in the folding canes with the golf grip on the one end?
Yeah.
How do you do this elastic without destroying the cane? Glad to have you back, Bev and Mo Serbier, totally blind in Arkansas.
Where have we been?
We've always been here in one form or another, haven't we?
We've always been here. And they didn't run us over the Christmas break, but that was 3 months ago. You folks need to get a grip.
Well, here's another. unsubscriber.
Were we going to address the cane?
Yes.
I'm not certain.
I don't know how to do it.
I don't
just
either.
Plain
That's
simple.
The
but
problem.
30 miles north of here is Stephen F. Austin University.
Yeah.
And the students, it's the one of two schools in Texas that offer teaching for teachers of the visually impaired, and they also do O&M, and they also manufacture or know how to teach them or know where they make canes. And so if it was a matter of, you know, I will find out about it, and you may, if you send it to me, I may can help you with it if it's a problem.
Well, canes are cheap.
Yeah, I mean, they're not that expensive. And like I say, but if it was one, I don't have any idea how to repair it, but I might could get one repaired if you send it for a matter.
Would that be a good cottage industry for some blind guy who's, you know,
Well, yeah, when he wasn't caning chairs, he could probably run over to the cane repair table.
That's right.
And turn out a
lucky he knocked chairs out, and knocked out a half a dozen in the afternoon.
Then go into seeing eye dog grooming and stuff like that. Yeah.
I guess he could.
Of course, I mean, he may be tied up doing rubber mats.
Tell a great story about Shaw and these chairs to cane. He's going to get Patterson. He's going to get Patterson to help him. Said, said, hell, I can cane for 4 in an afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it took you a year.
Oh, yeah, we had that one done. Yeah. That wasn't the worst of his problems. My over-exaggerating of my skills wasn't his only problem. They had a little business going, and then this lady came, little dainty lady with her super antique chair that had the pegs and the little wooden pegs in each hole and all that.
Jesus.
Mr. Shaw cane that chair and didn't put those pegs back.
That was a chair from hell, boy.
I haven't heard that story.
Needless to say, this lady was not happy.
It was. Well, chair from hell.
How did she know you didn't put the pegs back in?
Oh, you could see it. It wasn't. Oh. Let's say it was a great caning job, but it wasn't.
Yeah, minus its pegs.
It wasn't restored back to its original quality.
Right.
If the pegs are not put back in the hole, does that mean when you sit down?
No.
No, these were just decorative, but it was the old antique
they were
thing. And
decorative pegs on the back.
They were designed to cover up the holes, but it was done in such a... And, of course, to get the old cane out, Mr. Shaw...
Had to remove the pegs.
Well, he took those vice grips.
Yeah.
I knew what he did, didn't you?
What's that?
Took the vice grips and just, you know...
Oh, had to pull the old pegs. There's just no doubt about that.
What did she finally do? Did she pay you?
She did, but, I mean, it just... That was a bad experience.
Oh, well.
Double cane chair, boy. Double cane chair back. I'll never do another one.
Your chair caning career has come to an end, hasn't it? I think
well, he has one more.
One more to one do, more possibly. To
William and for Emily, is he?
Yeah,
some
we got
future
one
day.
More that needs...
All right. What's going on?
Well, this chair that I was bragging on just moments before we started the show.
You mean the one with three rollers?
Yeah, this one with three rollers instead of four.
That's
I had
right.
to work my way up from a stool, y'all. I went Coke case first, then we got to a stool, and now I'm in a chair with three wheels instead of four.
Graduated up to a chair.
Yeah, but we got a state-of-the-art console.
Console, that's right.
I remember that. Brand new Mackie, you know.
Yeah.
Console. Let's go to break and do our guest. What do you think? This guy should be interesting. His name is...
Well, that's him right now saying he can't make it.
That probably is.
His name is... Is it Joe Brennan?
Joe Brennan.
I'm coming. We'll be back in just a minute. Hang on. Right back.
Not broadcast.
This is Steve Mazura.
Welcome from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from the
ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves. Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
Latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
listening to The Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Geez, I hope we all live through the winter.
Really?
Coughing and wheezing going on around here. Our guest this afternoon or today, whatever time you happen to be listening, is a gentleman named Joe Brennan. Joseph, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. How you doing?
We're wet and rainy in Texas. I suppose it's probably 80 degrees out there and sunshiny, right?
No, we got about 70. Nice, cool. Sun's out. Oh, it's a wonderful day.
Great.
In Northern California?
What city in California?
We're Southern California, Garden Grove. We're about maybe 3 miles from Disneyland.
Really?
Okay.
Does Disneyland have a seat on the United Nations Security Council?
They may.
Disneyland, you got it? I thought it was funny. I guess you folks have no sense of humor, obviously. We're just stumbling around here. We've all got colds and we're sick. We'll try to give you any disease over the phone. You are what age, sir?
I am 42.
42, just a child.
A mere child.
A mere child. And how long have you been sightless, or are you sightless? I mean, do you see any at all?
Zero perception total, and I've been this way 17 years now.
So but at one time you had good sight? I mean,
sight. I was at one time 20/15 vision.
Whoa. Man, which is nice.
Better than normal. Yeah, diabetes got me.
And you could drive the car, and you could do all the things that they say normal people do.
You got it. Done it all.
Done it all. And you're 42, so you took this in your mid-20s.
You got it, exactly.
Man, I always tell them, we've debated several times, would it be best to start out that way or to have that sight? And I have no idea because I only have one perspective. I was born this way.
Well, I can tell you one thing. When it happened to me, it was a stepping stone for life.
Uh-huh.
I mean, before, when I was sighted, I was living from paycheck to paycheck, always wondering where my next dollar was going to come from, you know, and so uh-huh. forth. When I lost my sight, let me tell you, I've been able to buy a home and do what I want and go places, travel, and everything else.
Well, one thing about being blind, it focuses you. There's no question about that, is there?
No question.
You have something to do. You have to deal with this thing we call life as a blind person. Are you still employed? You say you bought a house and all this. I guess you work then.
Right. I wasn't working the time I lost my sight because I had to quit my present job. Yeah. And then I was doing a lot of volunteer work, radio work,
really?
Here in Southern California. And it was all volunteer work. And my former boss heard me on the radio and asked me if I was interested in being a dispatcher with the company Boeing, which I'm sure everybody is familiar with.
Oh, yeah. They're fixing to go to a little war over there. A little bit, yes. And what did you do before you lost your eyesight?
I was a carpenter. I had my own business working on boats down in Newport Beach and Long Beach area. Had my own business going. Had a couple guys working for me. And did a lot of cabinet work, working out of a cabinet shop, installing cabinets in people's homes and whatnot.
So this handyman stuff comes natural to you. I mean, you're quite familiar with...
Yes, and what makes it really nice is I had experience with, if not all, most of the tools that are out there. So
yeah.
When it comes to a table saw, you know, a chop saw and whatnot, I'm familiar with them. If I get a brand new instrument, I know exactly what the wrench is for, where it goes, and how to do it.
Yeah.
So are you still, do you have a little shop now?
I mean, yes, I do. In fact, we just put together a shed on the side of the house. It's all wood with a nice gable roof on it, and it's a 10x12, so I've got about 120 square foot of shop out there, and I just finished running the electrical, putting in the benches and all that, and now it's just getting my tools where I want them to be, so when the boys decide to take one or two, they make sure they go back where they got them from.
That's amazing. I don't know how many of our shows that you've listened to, but I've constantly talked, my brother-in-law, whom I love very dearly, has no compunction about coming over and just, you know, I'll go out to shop and the socket set's gone. Well, where is it?
Well, it's no doubt where it is.
There's no doubt. So, that, you know, the first thing you do is look around and then you call John because it's in, well, it's in my truck, Phil. I'll bring it back. You know, it's a, he thinks nothing about that. And being blind, you know. That we, when I use a tool, if I use a hammer on a project, I hang it back up.
Got to put it back where it goes.
Exactly.
So that when I need it three steps from now, I'll know where it is.
I'm working on that. I'm trying to learn how to do that.
Well, what I thought is always, you know, I have my tool belt always ready to go,
yeah.
And it has almost everything I need. The problem is, where did I leave my tool belt left?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Blind people are, Don has it. Patterson here has a pretty good vision, so he's not as organized as Don Shaw and I. Don is practically a total, and I'm a total. Now, you worked, you had your own business, but you say that it was semi-successful. You said living from paycheck to paycheck and unfocused and probably... doing all kinds of things you shouldn't have been doing.
Well, I was making good money.
Yeah.
And I think I was probably blowing it every weekend.
Mm. Well, you know, blind people can do that too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I think it may be more from being in your 20s than being sighted.
I could be there,
well,
Joe.
You look at the toys then, and now you look at our toys now.
Yeah.
The price of everything, you know, if I want to buy a four-track player, it's going to cost me three or four times as the amount of any other regular recorder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And if I want to buy a computer, I got to take in the fact I need another grand for a certain product out there that makes it talk, you know.
That certain product, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You mean that certain product that finally 3 weeks late sent me a new source code? I mean, a new authorization
number?
Something like that.
Does it start with a J?
I wonder. It's coming from the sea or whatever.
Yes, it does. It's sharks. It's sharks.
You got it.
Company or something like that. Anyway, well, I don't think anybody's any better. They just, you know, and what they figure on, I think, is that agencies, government agencies, buy these pieces of equipment. They don't realize that us poor schmucks who are working for a living also buy them. Anyway,
right.
So you're a computer literate, I assume? You're into computers?
Yes, I'm also the system admin at Boeing as well. So I have quite a few machines underneath me, which helps out. And before I lost my sight, I had no concept, no interest in computers whatsoever.
Now, you're the systems what?
System administrator. So I take care of the network.
All right.
Make sure all the computers are up to speed and working at normal base in there.
You're telling me that you're the systems coordinator for Boeing?
You got it.
Goodness.
Well, that's the wildest thing.
For our department, I've got three servers under me right now, and there is approximately, oh boy, I couldn't even count how many workstations, you know, use the files off that server and whatnot.
And so every morning when you go to work, there's a problem.
No, because I keep it running good.
Well, that is, do you have people under you, or are you the lone guy who does this?
No, there's other guys that work side by side, as well as people work under me. I get calls in the middle of the night if there is problems and whatnot, but...
But you're the man.
I'm the man.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's above and beyond doing, I mean, I know how to turn one on. And I can check my email on a good day if you don't confuse me too bad. That's great, Joe. I applaud you for it. And also you work as a dispatcher for these people also.
Correct. We do all the I answer 911 calls, and I have an EMT background, so that puts me into that state in that category. We take care of all security and fire for all of Southern California Boeing.
Boeing takes care of that.
Exactly.
And you handle all their computers?
Yes, sir.
That's just blowing me away. I can't.
Big job. You know,
that's
big responsibility.
Big responsibility and a lot for a guy like you said to learn in the period. Of course, when you lost your sight, computers were just coming into vogue, I guess.
Well, yeah, pretty much so. Yeah. I had worked with them, you know, way back in the 80s.
Yeah.
But not to the extreme that I have to deal with it now. I mean, my computer, like yours as well, is a backbone to life. I mean,
yeah.
I keep all critical data and everything else right there at fingertips.
Now, you mentioned doing traffic on the radio. When did you do that, and where? Tell us about that.
That was done with a radio station, KFI, which is located in California.
640, licensed to Los Angeles.
They run about 5,000 watts off of Mount Wilson.
They run 50.
And it covers... I'll tell you, in the right times, in the evening, early mornings, early hours, it covers quite most of the western states because of just their wattage putting out of Mount Wilson. But there was a gentleman, his name was Mark Dennis, that worked at KFI. He was their main traffic person from, you know, 7 to 5 in the day, and we became real good friends.
Uh-huh.
And me and him started working together as I was doing it on a volunteer basis with the Red Cross and an organization called REACT, which is Radio Emergency Associated
yeah.
Communications.
Sure,
team.
Yeah.
And I had my own team out here in Southern California and did a lot of traffic over the two-way radio, interfacing with Metro Traffic and KFI, and he asked me if I would like to do some traffic reporting right up there at the station in Los Angeles, which I said, hey, why not? Give it a shot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I started doing and started working with the Red Cross as a District 3 communicator for any disasters and or fires we may have, relocating people into hotels and whatnot. And that's where my former boss heard me on the radio doing traffic reports and so forth and asked me if I would like a job. And in fact, the year 1991 is when I put in over 2,000 calls to the California Highway Patrol as well into KFI Radio, which gave me Reactor of the Year Award, and they paid me a $500 check and gave me some nice radio equipment and whatnot.
All right.
So I've done quite a few things.
You really have. Now, they would, now with Metro Traffic, here's Joe Brandon. You'd go, there's a problem on the Ventura, right? You did that for
exactly.
KFI. Well, how did you get information from Metro Traffic?
From Metro Traffic and or from the helicopters and the planes that are in the air and from the drivers on the road that would call in to their hotlines, you know, 1-800, call yeah. this, call mm-hmm. that,
uh-huh.
so forth.
What people don't realize is that in large cities, that is coordinated by Metro Traffic. I think it's called Metro Traffic in most cities. There were two in Houston. There was... I can't remember what the other one was, but all that information is coordinated through Metro Traffic. Each station doesn't have its own source for getting that. They gather it through Metro Traffic, and so they fed you, and you brailed it, or you memorized it, or how did you... Yeah.
Believe it or not, most of it was memorization. That's one thing that I can say, knock on wood, that really has sparked with me, my memorization, which has been very helpful.
But were you...
Braille is... You know, I... No Braille, but I do not use it to the fullest at all.
And when these people, when you got a thing from Metro Traffic, like you go check road conditions with them, did you have a way of recording their information at all? Any way of recording it, either in Braille or computer or something?
Oh, yeah. I use the computer. I've got some real good typing skills, so I can mm-hmm. type as quick as people can talk.
Yeah.
And I also used a lot of recorders, had them set up just right, so no matter what recorder I hit, I always had a clean tape ready to roll, and I never was taping over something else.
And so it's been 14 minutes since you've done the traffic report, and you want to go back and review what they sent you it for after you have a way of doing that.
Oh, sure. Not a problem.
Okay. I understand how you
Excellent.
Did it. I've done a lot of radio. I've never done traffic.
It changes every minute.
Well, sure it does. I had a girlfriend that did. Anyway. So, yeah.
she really handled the traffic.
She could. She was quite a traffic
handler.
She's quite a traffic handler. She's worked at one of the finest radio stations. Anyway, but you've done a lot of things, and you're an accomplished man. Back before we run out of time here, to your woodworking. Now, you say you just built this shop. Did you say it's 10 by 12?
It's a 10 by 12.
And you thought this is going to be huge, and now it's full, right?
It's full.
Yeah, that happens.
I know the feeling. Now, did you have this built, or did you pour a slab and do it yourself? Or
no, I had this one built. I checked it out, and I just liked the layout, the way they did it. And it's completely bare inside, so I can do whatever I want. The actual the beams are showing. And the 2x4s are showing, so when I want to put things up, I know I don't have to use a stud finder. It's right there.
That's good.
And it makes it real nice.
Are you going to insulate and panel it on the inside?
It doesn't really need it.
Yeah.
We're so warm out here, you know, I can go out there at any time, and it's nice and it's comfortable.
Excellent.
That's amazing.
Well, that's great.
You couldn't do that. Mine is insulated and paneled with central heat.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's Texas. It's got down to 40 a couple times this winter. here in our part of the world. Now, your job at this point in time is basically an 8-to-5 job.
Yes, it is. But I usually work maybe sometimes 5 a.m. till 8 at night. Sometimes I'm there for 12, 15 hours.
If you're dealing with computers, you know you are. Are you? What is your marital status, if you don't mind us asking?
I am married, and I've got two adopted boys.
Two adopted boys of what age?
11 years old. Both of them, they're 5 months apart from each other.
Is that right? That's you just before you're in trouble. You're in a great age.
Exactly.
Because they still listen to Dad, and they still respect you and believe everything you say. Another couple of years, we'll call you back.
But what's real neat is one of them loves going out there to the shop with me, and I'm teaching everything that I know about tools, what is what, and it's just great.
Isn't it nice to have those eyes and that eager young man there?
This little guy can read a tape measure inside and out, backwards and forward, which is really nice.
So have you bought the Braille tape measure? The talking tape measure yet?
I've got the talking tape measure.
You know that. Yeah, well, that's good. And tell us about the tools that you have in your shop.
Well, I've got a chop saw,
a
Delta, and I've got a 10-inch table saw, which I use, and a jigsaw, which I don't use that much.
Wait a minute. A jigsaw, you mean a...
The little handheld jigsaw.
Oh, okay, the handheld thing. Okay.
But you know what? That I'm not real clean with that one yet.
It's hard to guide it, isn't it? It vibrates so bad that it's just hard because you're trying to feel where you're cutting and hold the saw in the other hand, and it's it's just hard to...
Unless you make some real, it would be so time-consuming because of its little blade guide. If you were going to build some kind of jig, then you've got to allow for the width of half of that saw guide if you wanted something to run it down along the side of it. I've got pretty fair partial vision, and I still have trouble using the jigsaw.
It's basically wasted. I've got a couple, but you can't. If you got it, so you have a table saw?
Yes.
Well, then you don't need the jigsaw, do you?
Exactly.
You don't. And you have a drill press?
Yes, I do.
And router table?
Router table.
You set up, man?
Which I built the router table and just mounted a real nice, I don't even remember what type of router I have in there, but if anybody decides to put a router table in, get the largest router you can buy that has the deepest chuck on it.
Well, and get one, because what you're going to do with the router table is hang it under the router table, so you're adjusting and putting in new blades is going to be inconvenient. Get the one that adjusts easiest.
Exactly.
You can loosen a wing nut and move up and down with with some sort of thumb wheel and then tighten it, where you can, because you're going to be reaching under the table, and you're used to doing that, but it's still a pain.
It is. It is very difficult. But mine, like you said, just loosen the thumb and drops all the way out. I can make the change and just slide it right back in.
And you built, you didn't buy a router table to go with it. You actually built the table.
Correct. Built the table right out of a sheet of plywood, and I used 2x4s, and it turned out beautifully. And the way I designed it, I can mount it to my table so it won't move. That way I can pick it up, because you're not using a router table every single project you do.
Yeah, that's right.
So I can pop it underneath my bench, and it just sits there. And if I need to go inside the house with it or whatever, I can move it very easily.
Yeah, and so you use yours as a hand router also.
Exactly.
And this table is built out of wood, and I guess you what kind of a fence? A piece of angle iron? What'd you use?
I used, what I did is I took the regular miter that came with the table saw, and I just put a groove into, the top of the table. So I have that. And how I squared it up is I just used the table saw, made sure it was perfectly square, because that's very important.
Yeah.
And I went ahead and faced it out, and I found a piece of plastic that fit into the groove absolutely perfect.
Lucky.
So even if there was a little moisture got on the wood or the table, my groove is still square to the blade if I was to put in a cutting blade or whatnot.
Because this piece of plastic is going to be square.
Exactly.
And so you took the table saw fence, and you have a way of attaching it to your router table.
Yes.
Now, see, there's a good thought.
That is.
I would have gone to the hardware store and bought a piece of angle iron, probably, and just drilled a couple holes in it and screwed it down to the table with some drywall screws, which would have worked.
Sure.
Would it work just as well?
And that's another thing you brought up, drywall screws. I think that was man's best friend.
Yeah, no kidding.
Man, drywall
what
screws.
Invention.
I have drawers of drywall. You know, every time I go to the hardware store, I buy a pound.
Yeah,
they're cheap, and you never know. You know, they're just the easiest thing to work with for blind people.
And them and a drill.
When's the last time you drove a nail? It's been a long time for me.
In fact, I was just doing it day before yesterday.
Is that right?
And I've gotten pretty good at it. I mean, I drove a lot of nails prior, it goes to driving nails, I read a lot of the emails about nails and so forth.
Yeah.
And if you've had experience in the past doing it, you can tell when that nail was starting to bend.
Yeah.
By the feel.
By the feel and the sound.
And did you read the thing about the guy that said cut little notches in the side of a board and put it up against the nail to
you
keep
know,
it?
You know, I made one of those, and it works beautifully.
It would be. That was one of the best ideas I'd ever seen.
It's superb.
Let me get back for just a minute before we run out of time to talk about your computer, the things you do with computers. Now, these folks aren't running Windows ME or Windows 2000. What do they run?
They're running from 95, 98, ME, 2000, XP, whatever.
Yeah, what is it? Do you just have a 100-port router somewhere or what?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we've got many, many of the routers, which all interface on certain floors, certain locations. Yeah. And they distribute the information as needed.
Now, when you go to someone's workstation and they've got a problem, how do you get, or do you have a way of getting in their computer, I suppose, from your workstation?
Sure. So yes, I can link right into their workstation. And JAWS actually reads it to me as if I'm sitting right at their desk.
That's the thing. I was going to say, you couldn't have JAWS on every computer.
No, so but I do run JAWS from the network.
From the network. And
yes.
I'm so proud of you. You bought the business version.
Yes.
I know that you did. Boeing's got a lot of money. They can buy it, you know. It would be. I'd have to sell a house to get it.
Yeah, it'd be expensive.
I'd be, I'd be using Plextalk or something. And so you can get in anybody's computer. And I assume you don't do software stuff. You're mostly hardware, right?
No, both software and hardware.
Is that right? And they're running everything from Windows 95 to XP.
You got it.
Boy.
Well, how much would it cost you to fly out here and help us?
Well, I don't know how much it would cost me.
Well, we'd probably be willing to, maybe we could get a grant from Henry Joyce to.
Hey, if we can do it from any computer, we can do it from any computer.
I guess you really could. I've got a network set up. I guess if I gave you permission, you could get in my computer, couldn't you?
Very easily.
Could you if I didn't give you permission?
Very easily.
Very easily.
He said he's the man.
You're the man. Listen, as we say to most, we have very interesting guests. We're going to get back in touch, and you've done really well. You've handled things really well, and you're an amazing man, and we applaud you, sir.
Well, thank you much.
And
you guys keep up the work.
Well,
We never got to the trains.
We never got to talk to you about the trains.
We did not even mention the trains. You want to just do him Sunday? Or have you got somebody for Sunday?
We all have anybody for Sunday.
All right. What Sunday at would be 1:20 your time. What are you going to be doing?
I'll be sitting right here talking to you guys.
We're going to call you back.
Back Sunday.
Because I read up on G-Gage just so I could talk to you intelligence.
Let's talk about trains Sunday afternoon.
Let's do that. We'll call you about 1:20 your time, which would be 3:20 our time, Joe. Okay?
You got it.
Good deal. Look forward to it. Joe Brandon, our guest. We'll be back in just a minute. More of the Blind Andy Man
Show. Thank you, Joe. You
bet.
ACB Radio Mainstream.
The Cafe.
ACB Radio Treasure Trove. You can hear.
Live. Unpredictable. Internet.
on ACB Radio Interactive. ACB Radio Interactive. Playing music from
the 1930s and 40s.
The 50s and 60s.
The 1970s.
80s and 90s.
The hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least six time zones on three continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening, adult contemporary,
and more.
Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive.
Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio.
Hang out with other ACB radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB radio. It's all possible through the ACB radio friends list.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe at acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB radio.
This is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, we are back.
Now, we got to find some some train sound effects for something.
We do, don't we?
Yeah, I think I know right where one is.
Some train effects.
Yeah. Well, Boxcar Willie's greatest hits are probably available. I'm sure you could dial some 800 number and
Boxcar Willie.
Boxcar Willie's.
Donald, go ahead.
G-scale electric trains. Boy, that'll be something to find out about on the next show.
Well, I bet there are more blind people into that than you think.
I bet you there might be, too. Man, for a blind person now, trains would be a good thing to be into, wouldn't it?
See, model trains, and especially the size. You know, I used, like I say, I'm partially sighted, and I had N gauge, which is small. I believe there's a Z gauge, which is even smaller, that I never messed with.
And the HO gauge is small.
Yeah, HO is, I forget the scale, 48 or something. I forget. I'm sure Joe's going to tell us all about it. But the G gauge and O gauge and can, you know, inside and outside, and there would be nice big... a blind person wouldn't have any trouble, you know, the tactile part of it. But, boy, I'll tell you, just some of the stuff, the G-gauge, like an engine for G-gauge, like try about $350 or $400 one thing. So if you had your whole train, you'd have a buck or two tied up.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine.
And I think the engines are good size, the way he talked on the G-scale.
All right, you guys are doing Sunday's show on
We are.
Noon.
We're doing it early, aren't we, in fact?
We're going to do train Sunday. We're going to trying to do
We soon. Like trains.
Well, we can cut this part out and replay
We're
it on Sunday.
We're not cutting anything. You can. Yeah. That's a lot of fun. I'm not doing it.
All these trains,
I
boy.
I need a drink.
Yeah, he does. He gets cranky. He quit smoking here.
I did.
Yeah, how's
7 or 8 days ago again, and he sure has been hard to live with, I'll tell you.
Share with three people.
On the smoking wagon, boy.
The smoking wagon. Well, I've had a few.
You can tell.
You've had a few in the last seven
I've
days?
I've had a few in the last several days. My wife, I haven't had any today. I had a good start.
And don't you think it is a little silly for a 62-year-old man to have to hide out to do that?
I mean, I have to go get behind a tree. But I know, I'll tell you what I did. I was peeing back there. I wasn't smoking. What I'd done is I got my wife hooked again. So now it's all right. If she wants to do it, it's okay if I do it, right?
Well, mean she's back on them again, too?
Yeah, so,
you people need counseling. You people are going to counseling.
We need to get a room
or something. It's tough, boy.
Well, I had, let's say I had one yesterday, and I have had none today. And I wasn't smoking enough. It's really, honestly, I can say, but not, it's not bothering me. I have two or three little urges a day when I'm going.
But Blind Weekend is coming up. That's one.
Yeah, that scared
blind
me.
Blind Weekend and smoking, just that's, naturally.
That scared me. Sitting out by that fire in the front, we've got a fire pit out that we go sit around, and it's going to be. If I make Blind Weekend, that's it. You know,
that'll be a tough one.
I'm going to make a decision, and I'm not going to feel guilty about it. If I want to smoke Blind Weekend, I'm going to go get a pack of cigarettes and smoke.
Oh, I'm
not
going
to. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to lay a guilt trip on myself and go, well, I'd like to, but I'm not.
It's the only way to go.
Oh, sure. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
No guilt trip.
That's right. You got it, Tom.
None, nada.
I got four packs of cigarettes. I'll sell you at a discount.
Four old packs of cigarettes.
They're all the Baptists turning off their computers.
They don't get too old to smoke.
You Baptists, we didn't mean to make fun of you in your guilt. But anyway, Don was going. What were you going to talk about? Go.
No, I just had a quick thing talking about smoking. No, in fact, we weren't smoking, but we actually were sitting around the living room thinking about going to smoke a cigarette, actually. 2 weekends ago, I guess, Mary's brother, my wife's brother, John, that came down, that was a guest on one of our prior shows,
yeah,
talking about a gas stove, in fact, and an oven replacing the burner on the gas.
Yeah, the element in the gas.
The element, yeah. And anyway, we were sitting around in the living room talking. They were getting ready to head out in a little while. And we was talking, and it got kind of quiet. And just out of the blue, all at once, boy, this gigantic spark. I mean, just immediately just shot out of the ceiling fan. Just for no reason. The light was on, and it was on before at least the spark shot out, and then everything just went away. I mean, it was just gone. And we said, well, I won't say exactly what we said at the time.
Holy!
We said, what's going on here? This is kind of strange. And to backtrack just a little bit, I, myself, had actually hung the ceiling fan.
I know
what,
that.
Four years ago.
When we
moved in the house.
Yeah.
And we'd used the fan, we'd used the light. Actually, we weren't using the ceiling fan this day because it was cool, but we were using the light kit from the fan.
And a big spark.
Okay.
And the big spark shot, man. And first thing, you know, Mary's brother John does maintenance. And the first thing he said, well, the light kit must be bad. Let's check the light kit here and see what's going on with it. So I said, okay. And he said, well, get the screwdriver. There's no use of turning off the breaker. It's blown by now anyway. So and he took the light kit apart, looked at it, and said, man, everything looks good here. Boy, the problem's not here. And this was one of the ceiling fans with the light kit on the bottom, and then it had a light up top, and it was a ceiling hugger. So the problem was you had to take down, like, the whole entire ceiling fan. You had to take the blades off to get to the top screws.
Uh-huh.
So we ended up, to make a long story short, we ended up taking down the whole ceiling fan. And what happened was after we'd gotten it down, and he said he still didn't know exactly what had happened, that when the ceiling fan had vibrated, that apparently two of the wires up in the junction box, some way, he thought maybe had touched together and had sparked it and made the big spark. But wasn't really sure. But that's like he said. He said, well, that's what we got breaker boxes for. And, you know, you never really think about your breaker really doing anything. You know, you think about when you're doing a project, you go and flip the breaker switch to turn off the power. But other than that, you never really think about your breaker actually doing you any good. But, boy, in this sense, man, on that day, man, if it wouldn't have been for the breaker, we would have had a problem.
Well, and just comment on that type of fan. It's interesting. I had one in the den in the house that was there when I moved there. And
yeah.
It, just from the looks and what everybody tells me, I never could find a brand name. It was quite an expensive fan. And it had the light kit at the top. In other words, that would, and it's all glass enclosed.
That's
and these little
this
Christmas
was.
Tree lights.
Yeah,
okay?
Little bulbs.
It never
that's
worked from day one. The bottom, everything on the fan worked fine. And when I changed and I was remodeling the house, I wanted a white fan there. and this one was varnished, you know, gold, and I wanted white.
Yeah.
And so but I said, it's too good a fan to throw away. And so I put it in what would be, I guess, like the master bedroom downstairs. And that light kit never worked, you know, and it's one like you have the string, the chain to pull the fan to change the speeds on,
yeah,
and the chain for the light. And then this one,
yeah,
of course, I had the extra chain to turn on those lights. Never worked. And I was always kind of afraid, and I tried to wire it up when I moved it and could not. So I cut all of the wires going to it where it doesn't work because I was afraid I was going to have a problem.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't know if that's something that's
inherit with those kind of
fans.
Yeah,
with that type of fan, if you don't. Because to be honest with you, I wasn't sure how to wire it.
Yeah.
In other words, I can do a standard. I've changed light kits on just a regular,
yeah,
but I didn't exactly know what I was running into.
What's strange about this fan, man, this fan has run now for years. I mean, every spring, summer, and fall, we've run the fan. We use the light from time to time, and everything's been fine. There's never been a problem before that day.
Mr. Shaw, there is something to think about. Where did you get this house? This is about the second or third time y'all have been near calling 911.
Yeah, the wiring in this house, so, as a matter of fact.
And who did you buy this house from? Whom?
Well,
he's not. Is he present
the
in this room?
Creator there is. He might have had something to do with that, huh?
Do you think that could be a problem?
Well, that might be.
I have this contract signed.
He's standing
in 19,
on the fifth.
In 19, I wish I had. In 1998, I have this contract that says that you signed that you're taking this house as is, Mr. Don.
As is or as was, depending.
That's right.
On the
but you know what,
of the fire.
You know what caused that. You know what happened over there?
Well, two wires obviously must have gotten together.
There was enough dampness to cause an arc. And with all the rain we've had,
well, we've had a lot of rain lately.
We've had enough dampness that caused it. But didn't you have wire nuts?
Damn sure arc. Wire nuts and tape.
Man,
I know.
I don't know what.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised that the little light kit itself with the Christmas tree light's pretty flimsy wire.
It is. Probably shorted somewhere.
And like I say, I never could get. In fact, it reminded me of a Christmas tree wiring,
mm-hmm,
and I was thinking, you know, how it just. I couldn't figure out mine, so that's why I disconnected it. So you're probably better off if y'all didn't ever get it to work.
Oh, the fan won't be going back up.
Oh, you're not gonna put it back up?
No, the fan's fine. I mean, the fan's probably not hurt, but you know, we had to take down the whole fan anyway.
So
the fan's 4 or 5 years old,
yeah,
so now would be the time to replace the whole fan anyway.
So you're just going to junk out the fan and put a new one up?
Oh, yeah, it's already gone. It's
and so here's the thing. I mean, you couldn't just omit that upper light kit and go on?
Oh, we could. I just didn't want to mess with the fan again. Like I said, we had to take down the whole fan anyway.
As long as it was down, it's time to change it out. Yeah.
You still got an old fan. So.
Well, but you wonder, did we get an arc with the wire coming through the metal junction box? Did we get it?
I was talking about that, too. I don't know. We'll never know. I mean, the wires are separated now, and the power is back on, and everything's fine. So, but that's like John said, well, that's why we have breakers. And breaker boxes,
man,
just for that occasion.
I'll tell you that, but that's a maintenance man for you, you know, that knows his business. Because, see, I would have still had to go. He said, well, there's no use checking the breaker box. We know it's thrown.
Yeah.
I would have probably gone and checked the breaker box.
I would have had to.
I would have never just stuck my hand up.
No way, man. Jose.
Do you remember when I had the shop in the garage?
Yeah,
kind of
sorta, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, my table saw, I'd taken a square box and put four plugs on it and run it around there where I could plug up things. And my table saw got to kick in the, or my chop saw got to kick in the breaker. Every time you'd turn it on, it'd be on 10 seconds, it'd kick the breaker. And,
uh-huh,
of course, and the garage is, plugs are on a GFI. Well, I changed the GFI, and that didn't help. I finally figured out that a tap line on the back porch had gotten some water in it. It was also connected to GFI. I unplugged
really?
The tap line, and bingo, everything worked. But it would kick this breaker every time, and that
now,
didn't
what a deal.
You know, what it, you know. So yeah, breakers are you want breakers and fuses, because if you don't have them, you're liable to get in.
Oh yeah,
in trouble.
Yeah, you
in
just
trouble.
Realize when something like that comes along, really how important your breakers really are. Because, man, he could have had a big old fire start.
And so,
nothing scares me any more than something going wrong with the electricity. I mean,
yeah,
if there's fire shooting out of something,
yeah,
that's
what happened
to me.
Boy,
I would have had to know what happened with the fan. I mean, I would still be
a mighty spark.
The big spin. You'd be sitting there in the living room.
Yeah. John, I guess he was sitting probably, luckily he wasn't sitting under the fan. He was probably 3 foot from the fan. I mean, he was just sitting right there, and just
you and Mary and John's wife and
let's
the girls.
Let's see if you,
and,
yeah, no if warning, you rub no the nothing. Mortgage with the insurance policy.
Uh-huh.
See, when Emily had her little fire, I said, "What you should have done? She ran in the house, went in a circle, and then called 911." I said, "No, you should have drove around the block, came back, and called 911." So, aren't you? Don't you wish y'all were gone? Or no.
Yeah, what a deal that would have been, boy.
No, that's a wonderful house on North. You just have to build another one, right? You couldn't move the pool.
Move the pool.
No, that's right.
You just have to build another house right there, and that'd be a great fun, wouldn't
build
it?
Build around it, boy.
Well, you could. Maybe you could enclose the pool.
What a deal. That'd be a pool in your living room.
Well, someone in Brook Hollow has a house that has a pool inside.
I thought the Arnolds
wouldn't that
did.
Be a deal?
I don't know.
I thought the Arnolds had a pool in an inside pool.
Yeah, they live in Crown,
man.
I think. Or
oh, they live in be
Crown.
A deal now.
I mean, they're building. They have a big house. And they're building a bigger house.
Whoa.
Must be nice.
Must be nice.
I don't. Yeah. I don't.
Must be nice. Well, definitely not blind.
We'll talk about them. Well, if you were the... No, we'll go into that later. But, Donald, give us the list address. The list is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Is there 100 people
yeah.
on there?
Do we have 100?
Yeah.
We're right at 100 right now. And, yeah, if you want to subscribe to that list, to that blind handyman email list...
That is S-U...
That's right. It is. Actually, it is subscribe. Send that blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
That's very easy.
That's it for the show. Yes.
blindhandyman@subscribe@yahoogroups.com, and you'll be on the Blind Handyman list. It's not bad. 10 or 12, 15 messages a day. It's
some
not
good ideas.
It won't overload you in some good ideas. Now, if you want to email us, and we'd appreciate it if you would, it's just blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
We'll get Tom Houston to read it.
We'll
read it on the air.
We got one lame email this week, and that is unacceptable.
We got what?
One lame little cane repair email. It's pretty pathetic.
Oh, goodness.
So, friends.
Well,
come to your home. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Don Shaw, Don Houston, Don Patterson. We'll see you next week.
Everybody light a candle. People
Everybody.
Are looking at my house. Maybe they got some money. And
I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.